we'll move along on our list of dynamics in our relationship with Hashem, or in other words, Chovos HaLevavos, the different mitzvahs that are mutl on us to feel and to think. So the Chovos HaLevavos basically has a list of them. Move on to the next one. There's a midah called Anava. Anava is a very misunderstood midah, and we wouldn't necessarily tend to automatically think of it as a dynamic in our relationship with Hashem. It seems to be a midah. A person has to be humble, you can't be conceited. But it's very important for us to get Anava in the right perspective. What does Anava mean? So the Chovos HaLevavos says, Anava certainly does not mean really just not thinking that you're anything. But he says, for example, Anava is considered one of the greatest midas that there are. Describes one of the greatest virtues. If Anava means thinking that you're nothing, so the Chovos HaLevavos says, it will be one of the greatest Anavim. You see a 7-year-old kid leading a bull through the street. It was a common sight in those times. They don't see it. 7-year-old kid leading a bull through the street, walking with a rope, leading a bull through the street. Look what great Anava. This bull is able to trample the kid like nothing. But he doesn't think anything of himself, and therefore doesn't think he can do it. Doesn't even enter his mind to ever attempt to do that. That's the epitome of Anava. That's what we should all strive for. The meat of this bull. So he says there's a difference between Anova and Shiflus. This bull isn't living Anova, he's living Shiflus. He has no idea what his koichas are. He has no idea that he doesn't have to be a loser and let this kid take him wherever he wants. He has no idea that he doesn't have to let the person put a plow on him and make him plow. He's much more powerful than the person. But he's stricken with Shiflus. He has no idea what his koichas are. That's not what Anova is. Another, the Chovos HaLevavos says, Davka comes after. A person truly does appreciate the greatness of what it means to be a human being. And actually, as we'll describe now, another really, once again, just boils down to the same old subject of living with realization of Hashem. How's that? What is another really? Moshe Rabbeinu was the greatest Anova of all men. Does that mean that he thought that he was on the lowest level of all of Klal Yisrael and that Hashem made the wrong choice by choosing him? Chas v'shalom. Chas v'shalom. But it's exactly the opposite. Anava came, in Moshe Rabbeinu's case, Nefesh HaChaim tells us what it was. Moshe Rabbeinu lived with that absolute consciousness of being in Hashem's presence. Now let's put it into a certain mashal in order to really bring across the point what Anava really is. Let's say you have two poor people are waiting in line to see a philanthropist. This person is a billionaire, and he's known that if you catch him at the right moment, if you make the right impression on him, he could take a person and really set him on his feet financially. You have two destitute people waiting in line in his waiting room. First guy goes in, doesn't have a penny to his name. He goes in, he describes to the philanthropist his plight, and the philanthropist decides, you know what, I like you. He tells him, you know what, I'm going to give you $500,000. Writes him out a check on the spot, $500,000. Now this person all of a sudden is a well-to-do person. He's still sitting there, and then the philanthropist calls in the next guy and he tells him, alright, what's your story? And pauper number two starts describing how poor he is. So now pauper number one, he's already not a poor man anymore. He's already well-to-do, just like the philanthropist. So he goes behind the desk together with the philanthropist, puts his arm around him, and he says to the pauper, yeah, me and him will help you out. Me and him will help you out. Me and him are, you're poor. Tell me about it, just like you're telling him. Now, it's obviously ridiculous, right? It looks completely crazy. In fact, a normal person will just be completely embarrassed to say anything while he's sitting in the presence of this philanthropist. That's really what Anova is. Anava doesn't mean not realizing what you have. But when you're living with the realization that you are right now in Hashem's presence, and Hashem is directly in touch with not just what you're doing, but the thoughts that are going through your mind, you feel funny. You feel mortified to be caught thinking, look how great I am, when you just got it from Hashem and Hashem is right there with you. That's what Anava is. Anava is living with that deep realization of the fact that you are with Hashem now and you're completely transparent. Anything you're possibly thinking, He is there with you, and also that anything that you can possibly have is directly from Him. When you're living with that realization, Anava is automatic. Anava is an automatic feeling. You can never feel, oh, look at me. You feel embarrassed to even think that. That's really what Anava is. So Anava is not an independent mida that a person has just in and of itself. He doesn't think much of himself. There isn't much value to such a thing. Eikev Anava Yiras Hashem. Eikev Anava Yiras Hashem means that the heel of Anava is Yiras Hashem. Anava starts with Yiras Hashem. It's based on Yiras Hashem. As we're saying, it's another dynamic in your relationship with Hashem. When a person really, really gets ahead, everything we've been discussing these last weeks, when a person really gains that consciousness, that sensory awareness of Hashem, Anava turns into an automatic dynamic in the relationship. That's what true Anava is. And the truth is, Nefesh HaChaim tells us, that is what epitomized Moshe Rabbeinu. Nefesh HaChaim says a very interesting thing. Moshe Rabbeinu said, you remember, in the parasha of Korach, what did Moshe Rabbeinu say? Moshe Rabbeinu told Korach, Nachnu ma ki salinu aleinu, ve'aleinu tulunai seichem ki al Hashem. Moshe said, what are we that you're complaining against us? The complaint is not against us, it's against Hashem. So of course, the pasht, the pshat, and the pasuk is, Moshe said, what do you want from me? I didn't say this, Hashem said it. But Chazal took what Moshe said very literally. They said there were three levels of Anavim. There was David HaMelech, who said, V'anechi toila'as v'lo ish. I'm a worm, not a person. That was one level. Chazal said, it wasn't as great as Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu said, V'anechi ofo v'efer. I am dirt. And that was not as great as Moshe Rabbeinu, who said, V'nachnu ma, what are we? Moshe Rabbeinu didn't just say, this is not my idea. Moshe Rabbeinu said, what am I? There's nobody here. Who are you talking to? It was that realization that everything is just Hashem. Any koyach that he has is just Hashem. Anything that he does is just mi koyach Hashem. There's nothing here, literally. It's to the extent that the Nefesh HaChaim actually says that only Moshe Rabbeinu mamish reached this madrega that he felt himself as completely transparent. And when he said v'nachnu ma, said it, what's the nachnu? Us, him and Aaron. Actually, it wasn't appropriate to say about Aaron. Moshe Rabbeinu was saying it in order not to slight Aaron. Actually, to say v'nachnu ma is a very, very, very great madrega that Moshe was expressing. And he knew he was expressing a great madrega. And actually, Aaron wasn't quite on that madrega, but he said it so as not to slight Aaron. He included Aaron in the nachnu ma. The person feels that there's nothing here other than Hashem. Hashem is everything that I have. Everything that I am. That was Moshe Rabbeinu's anova. Nachnu ma. So if so, we're seeing that this also, anova, which is known as one of the most fundamental midas, has nothing to do with not having an idea of who you are. What it is, again, that sensory and intense consciousness of Hashem's role in my life and everything I am. Then we come back to what we mentioned the other day. This is what David HaMelech said when he said, B'chor utz gdud b'rekayad aleg shur. We talked about it the other day in the context of Bitochen. But it's really all the same thing. When David HaMelech, when chasing after a unit of soldiers, he earned the reputation as the most mighty warrior. So how did he put it? He said, with you, I run against the unit of soldiers. What is that? What was he expressing? Was he expressing Bitochen or was he expressing Anava? It's not me, it's just Hashem. A Bitochen? Is it Anava? The answer is, it all really comes together. It's all just, once again, that same root of living with that sensory awareness that everything is just Hashem. That manifests in a feeling of what could possibly go wrong. It also manifests in a very clear feeling of What am I here? I'm not a factor at all. And the truth is that we see that this is what brings a person to the greatest of madrigas. The more a person feels that there's nothing here other than Hashem, the more a person merges with what's in Hashem. To the extent that, just to show where this transparency can get a person, we'll just finish off with this. The Rambam's take on Moshe Rabbeinu's chet is mind-boggling. It's not clear what Moshe Rabbeinu's chet is. We're all accustomed to knowing that Hashem told Moshe to speak to the rock and he hit the rock instead. So Baruch Hashem, we're raised with Rashi. And it's good that we instinctively think Rashi. But if you just look at the Psukim, it's not so obvious. The Ramban says, well, of course he hit the stick, he hit the stone. He was meant to hit the stone, just like the other time. It's not so simple that was the chet. The Rambam says something amazing. Moshe Rabbeinu was so transparent that he always related to any situation reflecting what Hashem would say about it. And therefore, it reached the situation where the Jewish people learned to look from Moshe Rabbeinu's facial expressions and to infer what Hashem thinks of them right now. Can you imagine what sort of madrega that is? That if he looks mildly annoyed, Kal Yisrael started doing tshuva. Because that means that Hashem is not so happy with them right now. What was Moshe Rabbeinu's chet? Listen to transparency. So the Rambam says it was that Moshe Rabbeinu expressed anger. Now, not just angry, it's an avera. But the Rambam says this was the one instance where Moshe Rabbeinu actually expressed something that did not reflect what Hashem was feeling at the time. That was Moshe Rabbeinu's big slip in life. There was one time where he expressed something. The way he spoke, the tone of his voice expressed something that was not actually manifesting Hashem. And the Jewish people mistakenly understood that it means Hashem is angry. Moshe misrepresented Hashem. His transparency was jaded for a second. That was his chet. The transparency was lost for a minute. Mind-boggling. But whatever it is, okay, we're far away from there, but the point here is, again, understanding this is another dynamic we're being introduced to, simply in the context of the relationship with Hashem. Another, not in an independent standalone nida, but really all just another offshoot, another outgrowth of this one root of living with that sensory awareness with Hashem, which is really the root of basically all these chovos halavos, as we'll see over the coming weeks, and of everything else. See you.